We have a gentleman in the studio that you'll be meeting in a few minutes who is one of the world's outstanding authorities on unidentified flying objects, sometimes known as flying saucers. And he has brought us some of the most amazing film that you or I will ever have the privilege of seeing about the so-called flying saucers.
Mr. Adamski, we welcome you to the program this evening.
Mighty glad to be here, Mr. Watts.
We've heard so much about you and so many times that you've been referred to by other people who've talked about flying saucers, and we consider it a real privilege to have you as a guest on the program tonight.
Well, thank you very much.
And it's nice also to welcome back our good friend Carol Honey. Hello, Carol.
How you doing?
How are you? And, of course, we're indebted to Carol for making the arrangements that brought Mr. Adamski here with us this evening. Carol, of course, is with one of the local aviation firms, an aeronautical engineer, and a man who started out not believing too much in flying saucers. Right, Carol?
Well, originally I was pretty skeptical.
But I think you're a more convinced man these days, huh?
Well, you can't help but be convinced after seeing a few.
I should say. Mr. Adamski, let's, since our audience knows Carol, he's been on the program here a couple of times, let's talk about you a little bit. Where did this interest in flying saucers first generate?
Well, you see, I've studied astronomy, sort of amateur astronomer, mm-hmm. from 30s on, and of course, when this thing happened, especially in 47, Kenneth Arnold over Mount Rainier, you know, mm-hmm. as then all spread throughout the nation, and I became interested, yet still I was doubtful whether there would be anything like that coming our way at all. Mm-hmm. And of course, we live so close to the big observatory, 200-inch telescope, and people come in and go in there to that place all the time, scientists and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the military branches was going up there, and I guess what they're going to do is ask them to see what they could do about it in a way of finding out whether these things were real or not.
Uh-huh.
And having a small telescope, professional one, 6-inch, they stopped at the place. Miss Wells owned the property at the time, the cafe.
Uh-huh.
And they stopped at this place and they asked me, on whose property I had this telescope, whether I would use it, because small telescope can be used like a gun on ducks, you know, where a big telescope is very hard.
Can't aim it fast enough.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So they asked me if I would spot. And I says, I would. No reward of any kind was said,
yeah.
anything. And if I did get anything, they sent it to their lab down in Point Loma, which I have done.
Uh-huh.
After I caught a couple of pictures, and I caught them against the moon, and still I was in doubt myself. I had to really go on until about nearly 51 and 52 when I really got a real, you may say, a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
When I met the people down there out the desert, which was an accident, total accident. I didn't expect it. I had gone out to the desert with a telescope, portable, and in order to get some pictures. Because at that time, they were saying there were a lot of ships landing and moving through that territory.
Uh-huh.
And that's just the way I got started. And once that happened, well, of course, I was convinced, and that's it.
I see. Now you are a firm believer that there are unidentified flying objects?
Absolutely, they're there. And what I have done so far, what is believed or not, I know people will be always that way. Some will believe and some will not. What I know to be the truth is the truth, and I'll take that to my grave with me.
Well, I think that's a very firm and a well-stated conviction, Mr. Adamski. I know Carol Honey shares your convictions also. I thought it might be an idea, since you brought this amazing film, and everything moves rather fast, as obviously when you're tracking things that are capable of flights of 1,000 miles an hour and such as that. Why don't we run the film one time, and you explain it, and then we'll chat about it a little bit. Then later in the program, we'll run the film over again, and this way the people who are watching tonight will have a better opportunity to see what's in it.
I think that's very good.
All right. Well, suppose we start the film through for the first time now, Mr. Adamski, and you explain right over here. You can see it on the monitor what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, this is taken at Palomar Terraces. That's where we live. And you see the spot there?
The white object, yes.
Yeah, that white object. That's daytime picture.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it's taken with a camera. I didn't know too much about it, so naturally amateur is an amateur. But I think it got pretty good picture for an amateur. And the trees, as you see, is out of focus as I try to focus on the thing itself. And
yes.
Not knowing the distance, naturally, I couldn't get an exact focus.
Uh-huh.
And there's the B-52 coming up under two discs. I saw something glistening, but I thought it was a B-52 above them as I was photographing this one with a 16-millimeter Keystone camera. And then when it was developed, I couldn't believe my own eyes that these discs were up there. And I figured that was about 30,000 feet up the jet is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch it carefully, you'll notice that there's a black speck headed this trail, which is the jet itself. And that's about a 200-foot width trail, so you can imagine how big these things are. Now, these are our power lines there, and
yes,
these things are moving. That was sometime in the afternoon. That all took place in 46, these pictures there.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where's the object here?
Well, there it is, coming from the top.
Yes.
See? I couldn't always get him in there. And this is in Chapala, Lake Chapala in Mexico. See, that's the roof of the building and on whose porch I was taking a picture of that at the time when I spotted it.
Uh-huh.
See?
Yes,
and following, getting miss it here and there and not catch it every now and then. It was moving around and there was quite a bit of clouds in the sky in the background.
Yeah, you're having trouble here.
And this is going on to San Blas in Mexico. There on the way back from Chapala, and I was photographing the highway, and I saw something, but I couldn't tell what it was. Had I known what was there afterwards, see, there's a ship in there.
The right corner?
Yeah, no, just right above the brush. There's the lights, you see? The light that is controlling
it.
The ship, when it comes down there, it doesn't show up too good on it, but there's a dark line there. It's bluer than the other, or darker.
Uh-huh.
And when you see that light moving, you'll see the ship move too from that brush. See how far it moved, that dark spot moved?
Yes.
That's the ship itself.
Uh-huh. Now, you stopped action here so we can see it. Yeah.
So had I known that the ship was there, I probably would have got a better picture, but I didn't know it was there.
You saw
this,
the light.
I was focusing on that, but not on the ship. I didn't know. See, there's a light above there, right in line with it, where the rake comes from, and there's a dark outline of the bell-shaped ship, see?
Oh, yes, behind the trees.
That's right, behind the trees.
Yes.
And this in here, this is a beautiful colored cloud I was photographing when I caught this one.
Uh-huh. Now, here you have another white object here
on
the right-hand corner.
That's right.
This
is a terrace, again.
This is back at your home.
Yeah, Talama Mountain. See this thing coming in there? Very fast. I didn't know how to photograph it. I photographed it at 16 frames when I should have photographed 24 anyway, see? So that had to be...
speeded it up a
little bit. Yeah, and they made it short, too, that way.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another one. These are all daytime pictures. The darker picture that will follow is towards the evening, right after the sunset, and when it got fairly dark, I spot those that will come up later on in the back. Which is a beautiful picture, I think, most beautiful of them all.
Uh-huh.
Three of them together moving. Now, this one here, and then there's another one, something like this, if the people will watch, that will come forward, very brilliant, and then fade out. And that's the way people see them and then don't see them. It's really a good picture to show how they do fade out when they back up or go into outer space and finally vanish out of sight.
I see.
He's repeating this thing again, see?
Well, this is the jet, and these are two bright objects up there.
Yeah, and there's two of them moving right there. That's a power line there.
Although
that didn't show up too good on that one. And these are coming over the power line. The other power line that showed up the way it did is a bare power line, you know, without any insulation on it.
Yeah.
These are my regular lines to the house.
Oh, I see. You're shooting this right from near your own home.
Yeah, that's right.
They seem to maintain a relationship to each other.
Yeah, they do. They hold pretty close together and run formation very closely.
Now, let's see what we're going to see here.
But that
here it comes. It's the top of the picture.
But that B-52 coming up underneath them was the most amazing part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole there's repeating that Lake Chapala again.
Uh-huh.
There's been quite a number of them seen in Mexico. They landed on Lake Chapala one night there and really unloaded and went across.
Did they float on the surface of the lake? Or
they floated just like any boat.
Is that
right? They floated right on the lake there.
I see.
That was while we were there. There was a celebration going on of the Lady of the Lord, you know.
Oh, yes.
People were all in, and when the two ships landed that night.
I see. Did people emerge from them? Or?
Yeah, they went across the lake there on the opposite side where we live in, and even talked to the people, and I understand they went even into one of the temples and talked to people there.
Now, this again is this road to San Blas, is that
That's
right?
That's right, this is San Blas. I was really photographing the highway because it's a beautiful color scenery, because of a colored picture, and marvelous. So I was photographing that mostly.
Now, where is this light to look for? What part of the picture here?
Well, it's moving back and forth. It's pretty hot. I see it doesn't show up too good. But
it's up in the right-hand corner.
Yeah, that's a banana plantation right there, right on a curve. And I was following that, and I didn't realize that there was a ship controlling it there back there. See that darker spot there? There's
up
a bell-shaped outline
again above the tree.
See how far it moved from that brush? You can see it's moving back and forth. And if you watch it on a second repeat, which we'll have, you will notice what the watchboard, and you will notice that as the ship moves, so does this light over the banana plantation moves equal distance.
Uh-huh.
So that shows the control.
I see. So this is an
this
object...
This is ever at our place again, object right in that corner there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see.
This taken at night. This is,
oh, this is the night
that's
scene,
the night,
yes.
Picture. Those two stood together and I took it at night.
Uh-huh.
That one there for a really pitch dark night.
Now, they were brilliant enough that you can get them with ordinary motion picture film.
They were bigger than that, but they show up 2 feet on
Well,
the film.
They wouldn't know.
No.
What would you estimate their size was?
Well,
Mr.
I would
Adamski?
Say they were about 100 feet or more in diameter as I saw them with my naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a beautiful picture coming in here that people watch. There's one went by. There'll be three coming by later on. This is the one that I'm talking about. See how bright it is? It'll
yes.
go back. And it'll fade out. That's where people see them and then don't see them. They vanish.
Oh, I
and
see.
And they call them sometimes materialization, dematerialization. There's nothing to it except they back up so far that you can't see them no more.
Well, I see it's fading now, isn't
That's
it?
That's right. It's
this
fading
is,
right out.
You would say then this is leaving the area at a tremendous
That's right.
speed, is
That's
it?
Right. At a tremendous speed.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the... See the tree in there? Beautiful.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah,
beautiful.
In formation.
And there'll be another one following that.
Uh-huh.
That was the best picture I think.
Oh, I see it up at the top of the picture.
Right there, see?
Is this nighttime?
That's a nighttime picture. Or just well, when it got fairly good and dark,
mm-hmm.
right after sunset, and it was taken right off my property towards, looking from, that picture was taken towards the ocean from my
Oh,
place.
Yes. Now, is this is a daytime picture.
Yeah, this
here.
Is a daytime picture, this one here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, this seems to be more hovering. It doesn't seem to
yes,
move
like it's not moving quite as fast.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them sometimes just hover. Now, take those first one there, they sort of hovered.
Mm-hmm.
See? Well, it's really marvelous. I think it's not the best. I'd like to get something better yet, but
well,
we always are that way.
You did very well, and I want to just point out that we are going to repeat the film a little bit later on in the program. It's been some of the things that convinced you there were actually flying saucers.
Well, this definitely did, and I'm sure that the picture where the jet is involved, that if the jet had a camera, and I think most of them do, he must have got an awfully good picture, much better than I did.
Do you think he was pursuing those saucer objects?
That I don't know, although they do chase him a lot.
Oh. Now, Mr. Adamski, what is your theory about where these ships have come from? Do you think they're from some other planet?
Well, definitely. The ones that I've contacted, I can't speak for others, but the ones I've contacted are from Venus, and I have them met from Mars and Saturn. Although I have information since almost the whole world is writing to me in a way, and I'm just snowed under with mail. I got reports where other planets have also been contacted of our own system, but none of another system.
When you say you've had a contact, then you mean you've actually talked to people
like,
who've ridden on these ships.
That's right, just like you and I are talking here.
Do they appear to be the same type of human being as we are, would you say?
Yes, they are, and I would like to make a statement here right now. We all believe in a supreme being, and I believe this, we are... credit ourselves to be the image of him, and I think he'd have the image pretty much the same throughout the cosmos.
Well, I think that's a very good thought, Mr. Adamski. Some people have, I believe, sort of tried to capitalize on this, flying saucers, using it as a religious motif. How do you feel about that?
Well, you see, I have nothing against no contact thing of any kind. I'm not in position to judge them one way or the other, but I do not like the idea that they make a religion out of this thing. This thing belongs to the world, and it's more or less scientific approach at that.
Uh-huh. I see. Now, do you notice you've talked to people who you say have come in from Venus and
That's
from Mars?
Correct.
Uh-huh.
That's correct.
Do you notice a difference in their feelings or their thoughts?
Oh, yes, I do. They can read your mind. Fast. In fact, we'd be in an awful mess if they was among us all the time. We'd have to do some straight thinking. But they're very kind. They're very humble sort of people. In other words, just like anybody. That's once they have evolved to a fairly good standard of human expression, they become kinder, you know. It's only usually people that don't understand that usually find fault with a lot of things. Once you understand, you get along with people very nicely.
Well, do you think, do they consider us, what, savages or...
No, they don't. And I want to make a statement right here. We're not the poorest planet. There probably could be planets in other systems far below us. We're pretty well up there, and it wouldn't take us long to catch up once we have actually realized that we have a job to do and can go forward. We, after all, science tells us we're about 10% in operation on our mental side.
I hear
we
that.
We got 90% to develop. Look what could happen. Look what we've done with 10%.
That's right. We've done pretty well. We're
sure.
running at 10% of full power.
Sure.
I want to just direct a question over to Carol Honey over here. Carol, you've seen the film, of course, before.
Yes, I have.
Was this one of the things that helped convince you of the validity of the claims for flying saucers?
Well, I was convinced before that they were interplanetary, but this is a thing that got me interested in George Adamski to start out with.
Well, now, Carol, have you ever had a contact? I believe you told me, if I recall, you have not had an actual contact.
No, I haven't.
You have made sightings, though.
I have sightings, yes.
Have yours been here, or before you came down here from Seattle?
No, I've went out to the desert many weekends and sat around, you know, looking, but all of my sightings were in the Seattle area.
I see. Well, now, maybe I'm missing a point here. You know Mr. Adamski was so much better than I. Is there some question you would like to have him answer, or something you think he should bring out here?
Well, I think he's brought out pretty good that these people are exactly like us, that there's nothing mystical about them. They don't materialize, dematerialize, or they're not giving messages through trances and various things like this, that they're perfectly physical just like us. That's the real important thing, is for people to realize that they are down-to-earth human beings just like us.
Mm-hmm.
No different except farther advanced scientifically.
Well, that's it, Mr. Adamski. You got any thoughts on how long it'll be before we might have interplanetary travel on our own?
I will say that we'll be going out there probably in the next couple of years if everything stays well and we do not tangle up in a major wall that might set us back. And I will say here right now, surely we're not going to go up there flying around the planet and come back. If there's any chance at all, there's any humans even ever so low, we will try to land and contact them to find out just exactly what's on the planet, and naturally these people coming our way are doing the same thing.
That would be my thought. I would be very curious and want to meet these people. That's
right.
Why I wonder that we don't have more contacts from these people from other planets.
We do have, as I stated, we have about 2,500 contacts according to my information, and I know of two definite ones, good ones, in Mexico, which I have interviewed the people that had it at the time for the Mexican government.
I see.
And they asked me, and I interviewed it, and really they have proven up their points. But the trouble is that so few people believe in contact. They believe in sightings. For instance, they've been battling me pretty well.
Yeah.
In other words, take a nightcap was battling me a little bit, and others, yet I get a membership card that costs $7.50 from them altogether free of charge last week.
National.
I can't understand what's the mystery.
From the National Investigating Committee for Aerial Phenomena. They made you an honorary member, and still they argue with you about your claim.
Yeah, that's right. Here it is.
Yes, I see.
I got it last week. I was so surprised.
You sure did. He's a member.
Yeah,
in good standing.
Yeah,
but you're fighting with him.
Yeah.
What say we roll the film again, Mr. Adamski?
Fine,
and just
that'd be
take
nice.
Another look at it here, and then we'll have a few minutes to chat. And then I've got a good friend of mine back here to visit us. So here comes again. If you want to just explain what we're seeing now,
well,
some of the people may not have seen it the first time we ran it.
That's over my property. There are property where I'm living right now, and they're taken in the daytime and the afternoon.
This is near Mount Palomar.
Yes, and it's a daytime picture. And the trees are out of focus a little bit because I want to focus it on the object itself, which was not easy to do.
Do you have a theory how fast this is traveling?
Well, that thing was moving pretty fast there. I had to move that camera, go around with the camera steady, and I didn't know where it was going to go to. This one here again is a B-52 coming up against those two big, large discs. And if you notice, the trail is about 200 feet wide, and notice how big the discs are. Yet I didn't see the discs as you see them on the film. I saw a glistening light up there, and I thought there was another jet above this one as I was photographing. On developing the film, that's what showed up.
Do you think that this B-52 was out to investigate these glowing discs?
Well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. They may have been investigating at that time, because they do investigate, and they chase them right along.
Mm-hmm.
And here's two more coming in. Here also daytime, which is another time. They weren't all taken at the same time. They were taken at different times through the year.
Over how long a period of time did it take?
Well, this is about a year and a half accumulation. And this is Lake Chapala,
in Mexico,
which is 30 miles this side of Guadalajara. And that portion of the roof that is seen and all of that, that was the property we lived on.
Now, this fuzzy effect, is that because you couldn't focus properly, or did the glowing light do
that? I would say glowing light may have something to do, and then I couldn't get a perfect focus like you do on a standing gun. And this is on the road to San Blas. I was photographing the highways of the beautiful palm trees of all kinds. It is a colored film, this one is. Of course, down here doesn't show that way. And then I saw something there, this white disc finally landed over the banana plantation, and I didn't realize that there was a ship controlling it. As you see right through the center, right in the center of the
above
picture,
above
the trees, there you see a dark outline curvature there. And
yes.
If you see that, when it moves, it'll move away from that brush quite a ways, and the light will move.
There it goes.
And see
that
it moved.
Uh-huh.
See? You'll see it again. See, the light came in, and that moved up where that brush is now covered with it. It'll move over again, and when it does, you'll see how far it'll move over from the brush, and the light will move it equally. So it's showing that it's controlled. And above it right there, at this, in line with the light, there's another small light there, which just shows that's where the radio's coming from controlling that one.
I think this light was directed toward you in the car then?
Yes.
What's this
and
now?
Listen here, I was taking colored cloud like you see sometimes when sun sets down and all of that, and I didn't see that one coming in there at all. It just caught. That's
Now here's one up at the top of the picture.
That's
here.
A good property here. Again, the tree's out of focus. You try to focus on the other, and you ignore everything else, so then something's going to be out of focus all the time.
Well, you set your camera to infinity, then.
That's right, infinity always.
Uh-huh.
And you see your light adjustment. You can't adjust your light exactly, and so forth, so you're just up against it. You're taking a chance. That's all.
Now, actually, this
good luck, that's all.
The way this moves around is primarily because you're holding the camera. You can't hold the camera steady.
It's steady, that's
it.
It's
not that the saucer is...
It's caused mostly by the uncertainty of the camera.
Yeah.
A little bit, see?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Now we're looking through...
There it is again.
Mm-hmm. Is this the same one we saw a few moments ago?
Yeah.
Now, when they come in for and land somewhere, do they still glow as brilliantly as
that? They glow. In fact, I was told that one landed, and they had it in the shed. That's a few years back. And in this dark room, it would glow anyway. And,
is this the same B-52?
Yes, that's
this is a repeat of that film.
I'm repeating the picture now.
Uh-huh.
And this is a big one coming in there.
You saw
and
it on the
corner
of the picture.
Line. That's why it showed up the way it did. Well, this is an insulated line. It's both
power
lines.
Oh, yes. Line. Yeah, they're power lines.
Yeah.
I see.
And,
these are in the corner of the picture.
Speaking of glowing, you know, I told you before the show that we had a saucer in the making, you know.
You said somebody was building a flying saucer?
And that thing glows after shut off.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the light propulsion theory.
That's right. It's saturated with that force, see, and it glows.
Uh-huh.
We call that a field force.
Oh, I see. Is this photons then that they're using? Are they sometimes referred to light propulsion by photons?
That's right. And that produces radiation, which is known as a field force to most people.
Is the radiation harmful?
No, it's not harmful. I have come in contact with it and it didn't bother me.
Uh-huh.
Of course, it might bother somebody else. I don't know. But it didn't bother me.
You feel fine.
And this is over Chapala again, Lake Chapala.
Yes, we're seeing some of these scenes repeated so
that's
that
right.
Everybody can have a good look here and really get something. These are amazing films.
And every time I try to get a good picture of it while photographing there, see, I'd catch the roof. He'd get over the roof, and then I couldn't see it no more. Then I'd lay for it, and then come back, and I'd try to get some more.
Do you think they're conscious?
Very much alerted.
In other words, if they're flying along, and you were observing them, they would be conscious that you were.
Right. The only thing, they are not conscious enough to satisfy me. I like to have them stop right there and just go and take a good picture of them, like of this table.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish for that, it never happens.
Now, this is the San Blas Road again.
That's right, San Blas.
Mm-hmm.
And if we watch that picture in repeating now and look towards the center of, of your screen right there, above the brush, you see a dark spot curvature there, and you see the light on
the right of the
screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see as the light moves, you'll see that dark spot move, and that's the ship controlling. Now, that ship is not on that hill. That ship is a long way from that hill.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was close to that hill, where that banana plantation is, I'd have got a good picture. And this is sunset, beautiful colored clouds. I didn't see this fella coming in, but when it developed there, it was moving through there.
Now, let's see what we're going to see next. Oh, here it comes. This is one from the top right-hand corner.
Yeah, from the top, from that corner there.
Mm-hmm.
Right-hand corner.
Do they follow a flight pattern, or are they erratic, or what?
They're erratic in some cases, but mostly they follow a pretty good pattern.
Well, this is the night scene, isn't it?
That's right. This is a night scene.
The two of them traveling here.
That's correct. That's a night scene. They caught it in the night.
Uh-huh.
They were much bigger, but that's what it turned out to be.
Is there noise? Is there anything like that?
No, I have never heard any noise. When I was close to them at the time of mid-contact, the only kind of a noise I was aware of, just like swarming bees moving from place to place, see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only kind of noise I've heard from them.
There's one hovering more. It looked like it went behind that tree. Now, what is this?
This one appears right there, you see?
Yes.
And it'll fade away. That's
what
people call materialization dematerialization. There's no dematerialization too. It just goes back so fast that finally it vanishes out of your sight.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good picture there. I
really same thing as watching a train go away from you on the railroad track.
That's the same
just
thing.
Just smaller and smaller finally...
And you see it no more.
Yeah.
Now here's a good picture, night picture. There's
trees
in formation going there beyond those trees.
Uh-huh.
And there'll be another one following.
I see it at the top
that's
of the
picture.
That's
the best one I got so far, I think.
That's excellent.
That's,
it certainly is. Mm-hmm. Here we see it again.
And there's another one here.
Mm-hmm. Now, hovering there and glowing.
Yeah, this one is daytime again.
Now, this
and
looks
this
like,
is toward the evening.
I was going to say, it looks like late
evening.
Afternoon or something.
Yeah, late afternoon, evening. Good breeze was blowing then
mm-hmm.
already.
Do you have a? Do you ever have a premonition you're going to see something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you know, like sometime walking and all of a sudden you turn around and they feel like somebody's watching me or somebody's following me, and you turn around. When I get those feelings, I follow them out. Sometimes it's a mistake, but I still execute them because there might be something there.
Well, we all play a hunch now and then.
Well, that's what really it is. If most people know it by hunch. You feel you have a feeling that something's going to be said or something's going to be done, and you obey that feeling, and a lot of times you miss, but most of the time you're all right.
Well, Mr. Adamski, you know, history records, clear back to the days of the Romans and Greeks, experiences with the things that could be called flying saucers. Do you believe that flying saucers have been coming into our atmosphere that long ago?
Oh, yes, because I can show you there are about 340 cases in the Bible. Take Ezekiel chapter there, and all right, Elijah taken up in a fiery chair, the burning bush, the cloud, which Moses was talking to God in the cloud in front of the temple, while other people were watching, the people are still in the cloud that he didn't talk to.
Mm-hmm.
There's many cases up there. Of course, they didn't name him the same name.
No.
And incidentally, this name of flying saucers was given to him, if you remember, when Kenneth Arnold was asked how it goes, he said, well, when you throw a plate on the water, it slicks that way. It's like a flying saucer, like a saucer bouncing off the water, and that's where they got their name, but that's not their true name.
I see. Do you think we're going to see more sightings?
I think so. We're going to keep on seeing them for quite some time, and I think this is not over with. So long as our Earth is in the shift, and there is a book out on geophysical year that's been put out recently, pocket edition, that tells you just what shift is already taking place, what has taken place in this world. And so that's when I said scientific exposition on that part, that's what it is. They're observing our change, because any change in of our planet naturally makes a change of the total system, includes them.
How many books have you written on this now? I know you...
Two. I'm writing the third one now. I don't know when it's going to be published.
What are the titles of your first two books?
Well, Flying Saucer Have Landed, with Desmond Leslie, we wrote that.
Yes.
And then Inside the Spaceships, which I wrote myself altogether. All my experience. Now I'm writing another one. That won't probably be out till next spring sometime.
Well, be sure and let us know, because I'm sure after your appearance here tonight, Mr. Adamski, our audience is going to be very interested in reading your new book, as well as the two that you have already written.
Well, thank you, Mr. Watson.
May I thank you for your kindness in coming? Carol, we certainly turned it over to Mr. Adamski tonight, and may I thank you for your help in arranging for his appearance here.
Yes, you're very welcome. We're very glad to do it.
And I want to assure you, you're both most welcome to come back on this show at any time, and we've appreciated both you and
the
film.
Well, thank you, Mr. Watson, again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. George Adamski, who is, of course, one of the world's best-known authorities on unidentified flying objects and flying saucers, has written two very fine books on it, books that are well illustrated with some outstanding photographs. So if you want to pursue this further, I recommend Mr. Adamski's books to you. They're some of the most interesting reading that you can run into on this particular subject.